Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast. Andy and I are thrilled to be joined by Melanie today, who runs her very own heat printing business. And I always say the name wrong, and I do apologize for that, Mel. So I'm going to let you introduce the business so that everybody hears it correctly for the first time. So would you like to introduce everyone to a little bit about who you are and what your business is?
Yeah, so I am Mel. I run my business called Drumnagoric Designs, and we are based up in the northeast of Scotland.
Nice, nice. And we met Melanie for the first time in person, I think it was, at the Print Run promotion show. I want to say like a month ago, but it was, what, a week ago?
I think it was last year. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if you probably
did. Did you meet Mel last year?
I'm pretty sure me and Mel had a good chat last year.
Oh, I feel like I missed out now.
Yeah, because I remember it because I can't remember if it was you or your friend that you were with was doing the competition with the hoodies or the jumpers.
Oh, that we both did that together. Yes. How many t-shirts you could put on in a minute. Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. How did I not see that?
Was it on the prestige stand, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. We won by like one t-shirt. We got 28 on in a minute. So I won 35 t-shirts.
That's impressive. Oh, yeah. Damn it. I feel like you should do the introduction then, Andy. You've got the original.
But how can you can never forget such a story like that?
No, not at all.
So Drumnagoric Designs, is that right? Yeah. Yes. That okay. We're getting there. So how long have you been running your own business? When did it sort of get started for you?
It's kind of like a long story. Do you want the business story, how I actually started?
Yeah, give us the long version. We're in for the long haul. So yeah, tell us everything. Yeah.
So basically, I've done horses my whole life. I am a qualified horse riding instructor. I've been a manager of a riding school and a charity. And I sort of had a bit of a break from that for having the kids. Got back into it again in 2019 and quickly realised that I wasn't as fit as I used to be with regards to mucking out horses and being outdoors. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease in 2018 after an emergency trip to hospital. So just health-wise wasn't as fit as what used to be. So I wanted to look for a job that I could work from home. I could take my time if I was having a bad day or whatever. And I came across the idea of basically putting vinyl onto t-shirts and hoodies. Came after I bought my daughter a hoodie in one Christmas, and it had her name, her pony's name, and a silhouette and a pony on it, and she absolutely loved it. And I thought, I wonder how difficult that is to do that. So kind of looked into it and thought, if I was going to do this from home, I didn't know whether I wanted to go into it or not. So I bought a Cricut and I bought a really cheap heat press. And just kind of sort of started playing about with stuff at home, really enjoyed doing it. I researched everything. I kind of sort of knew how to use my Cricut before I even came home because I'd watched so many YouTube videos on it. I just kind of started playing about with that. So that was about March, April time in 2021, and then sort of started to tell everyone I was doing a business from the end of July that year. And then start of 2022, my poor grandmother, she was diagnosed with dementia, and that meant I had to keep traveling back and forward to Edinburgh, which is like a 3-hour drive away, every single month to sort of make sure she was in hospital, and I had to make sure she had everything she needed. And getting that time off work, I was still working 20 hours a week at the time, and I was just struggling to try and do everything. And I knew I needed to just drop everything and go to Edinburgh if need be. So I basically just really pushed myself to get the business to go full time, and by the start of June 2022 I was full time at home, could give up my job. So yeah. And the business name came from the area that I stay in. It's called Drumnagoric, and I thought no one else on Facebook or Instagram or anywhere else is going to have that business name. So, and it's worked quite well. It's quite memorable, even though no one can see it. So it's good.
I mean, I can say it now. It's only been a week and I've accomplished it. So we're good.
We're getting there.
So when they say that the first year of your business is the hardest, that is probably doubly true for you then, I would say, with all the other things going on, and but still managing to push forward and get going is really quite impressive.
Yeah, there was a few nights that I was working until 10 o'clock at night, especially sort of Christmas time that year. I got really busy with orders and a lot of personalized stuff from the start before I went into the workwear kind of side of it. And it was that Christmas was really hard to get through while also working as well. So I probably should have gone full time sooner than what I did, but I was like tentative about, you know, letting go of that guaranteed income every single month as well. But, you know, for all these other reasons, health reasons, my grandmother, my kids, you know, it was, you know, that was the force, driving force in getting me to full time. So I was willing to sort of put in those hours and tire myself out to get there. But it's worked. We're done. We're good. We're nearly 3 years in now. So happy days.
And because I wouldn't say you're in a remote location, but you are obviously, if anyone wants to look up your area on a map, it's quite far up. Did that make it difficult getting that initial business, or did you just go online and start to generate interest? How did you first go about getting people to take an interest in the business?
I've got quite a good network on Facebook. I used to do a network marketing business, so I've got a wide range of friends all over the UK. So when I first started sort of setting up, there was a lot of interest from other people who had maybe, you know, thought about buying things elsewhere, but then decided to come to me instead, which was great. And it was nice to have that support. And I'm lucky as well. I live 6 miles from the nearest village, so I am in the middle of nowhere. But the local village is very much a shop local, you know, small business promoting kind of area. So I can pretty much drive down the main street in my village now and kind of go, I've done their stuff. So I was kind of lucky in that way that the local community sort of rallied around and helped support me, but also the fact that I had sort of the wider community as well from all over the UK sort of asking me to do stuff for them as well. So it's kind of worked in my favor, but Facebook has been the one thing that's really sort of pushed me on. Facebook's been an amazing platform for me. I know it doesn't work for everybody, but out of all the platforms, Facebook works really well. And doing networking, going to a lot of networking, a lot of people that do this business don't necessarily go networking either, so that's worked really well too.
You do, is it like the pop-up stores I've seen on your Facebook page occasionally? When you say about networking, is that kind of what you mean? You take your business sort of on the road and show people what it is you do?
So I have done like fairs and things. I did sort of the Big Keith Show. So that's our local agricultural event once a year in August. I did that last year. It went down really, really well as well. But no, it's like sort of proper sort of online networking. So there's all businesses come together and then you work together to try and sort of refer people to their business. So it's a lot of getting to know people. It was in a local area for a start, but now I do a national networking thing. So now I've got like a dance group in Bristol that I do stuff for, and then I've got people in Shetland that I do stuff for. So it kind of spreads all over the UK now, which is fab.
And I guess that, you know, having that networking background first probably helped quite a bit, because what you said there is spot on. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle at the beginning is, you know, they might have an Instagram page where they post lots of pictures, or they even have a website. But actually getting out of your comfort zone and out of your way to speak to people, because you can't expect them all to come to you just because you have something nice and shiny for them to look at. You really do have to be putting 90% of the effort into those relationships, especially at the beginning, if not like 99%.
Yeah, definitely. People buy from people. I always say people buy from people. And if you come across as a genuinely nice person, people will want to put their business to you before they go to anywhere else. So it's just about getting to know people, making those connections. And it's not necessarily just with your customers, but like yourselves, suppliers, wholesalers, brands. It's getting to know everybody and building that personal relationship with people, so you've got that support network as well.
And then, like you said, how the business has grown from there, like the word of mouth of people that you currently work with recommending you, if you put the time and you put the effort in to build those relationships at the beginning, the after effects of that in the following months and years even, it's almost like you're doing 80% of the work in the first year, and then for the next sort of 5 years, providing you maintain those relationships, you'll get that sort of referral business and you continue growing that way from doing majority of the effort at the beginning, like you said.
Mm-hmm. It's getting those repeat customers back again. It's really nice when you see people year on year or every couple of years, depending on how quick they go through their workwear, coming back again. And it's done another season we're coming up to is Leavers Hoodie season, which we've been talking about lately. So, you know, I've already got quite a few orders for them now as well. So it's sort of a guaranteed income at this time every year as well, which is awesome.
That's exactly what we say, isn't it? Guaranteed income every year. If you get your customers that you know are going to have those Leavers prints and they come in every year, that is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's a bit like our MD here says. He says Christmas is at the same time of the year every year, so you should never not be prepared for it. There could be levels of how busy you get for it, but you shouldn't be surprised when it comes around to December. So having that, having the Leavers stuff or the workwear stuff, you know that if they ordered at this time last year and the year before, then being prepared and getting out there and then having that conversation with people ahead of the time rather than waiting for it to come to you again is really important that way.
It's just keeping an eye on trends and things. You say, Christmas is coming every year, you know, Leavers Hoodie is coming every year. You know, even if you're going down the personalized route, you know, Easter, thank you teacher gifts, you know, there's all these other different Mother's Day's just passed, there's all these other different times of the year which, you know, you could be ready for if that's where your work is.
So going back to the beginning again, can you remember the first job that you ever got from someone and what it was and how you did it? Can you remember what the first sort of workwear or personalization job that you came through once you're like, I'm doing this, and it was not necessarily like a family or a friend that was like, okay, well, I trust Mel, I get to do it. Someone who was like, I've never heard of you, but I want you to do this for me.
The first workwear kind of one I did was vinyl, because I hadn't gone into embroidery at that point. And it was with vinyl, and I remember them coming up, and I think they wanted something like 20 garments. And I was like, oh my goodness, 20 garments. That's like, wow, that's not just one or two things. That's like, oh my God, that's a big order, you know, because back then that was a big order, you know. And it was just really good to then see that being worn by clients like at their workplace, and you know, to see them sharing about it on social media and things like that as well. I was like, oh, I've actually done a good job because I want to tell people about this, you know. And still to this day, I still take like a massive sense of pride if I walk into somewhere or someone's online networking and they've got something on that I've done. I'm like, I did that. You know, I take a lot of pride in what I do, and I just love it. I just absolutely love it. Yeah.
I think that's such a good thing in terms of like the quality aspect though. And I know that we say this all the time, but the fact that you take such pride in what you do means that you are going to produce not only good products, but good relationships, like we've said. But if you really care about what people think about your products and you want them to come back for that repeat business, you're not just going to, you know, fuse it for a few seconds, hope it sticks on okay in a few weeks and send it off for them to wear and, you know, never come back. You are genuinely making them the best product you can. You're building that relationship. And I think that's, you know, what builds a successful business at the end of the day, rather than, you know, it being more of like a, I don't know how to explain it, treadmill kind of thing where people just churn out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of garments every day. You know, you're getting a homemade, really, really good quality product.
I like the fact that I'm still a small business, and I always will be a small business. And although I've expanded to be able to cater for bigger businesses, I really love helping those like sole traders and small businesses who, you know, who might struggle to get things at a decent price because they, you know, they're penalized because they only want a few items rather than, you know, a huge bulk item. And I think sort of if you want a couple of hoodies, that's great. I'm going to take care and attention to your couple of hoodies just as much as I would to a bigger company who's ordering 100 polo shirts or whatever. You know, it's your business doesn't matter any less just because you're in it on your own or you've just got a few employees.
And you know, it's a good ethos to have, because that way you the care that goes into each one, but you never know where that might lead you. The customer gets giant and then they're like, no, we want you to keep working with you, or they refer you to a friend because you did them a favor, so they want to do you a favor. And everyone kind of wins that way. But you never know. So it's always important you treat everyone with the same level of respect.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So when it comes to decide, because obviously if you're, you know, I know you care about quality and we've met in person, you've shown me the stuff you've been working on. So I know that it's, you know, it's not just words, it's the truth. But how do you go about deciding what to use, which new products to incorporate, especially at the beginning? How did you go about finding out, okay, you know, someone says, I want a polo shirt, but that could mean, it could mean anything really, couldn't it? If you go on Trivalize or whoever, you know, there's 1,000 polo shirts. What's the sort of quality that you look for? Or how do you go about deciding which garments to recommend to people? Because you don't want to recommend everything.
Gosh, no. I try and put people away from, like, they'll like send me a link to your brochure. I'm like, no, just tell me what sort of quality or what colors and things you're after and let's go from there, because you just look at that brochure and you're like, there's about 100 different types of polo shirts, like, what on earth do you go for? So I think when I very first started, I go back to like that hoodie that I looked at for my daughter, and the first thing I did was looked at the label to see what it was, because I thought, that's been worn, that's never off our back, you know, it's been through the washing machine several times and it's fine. And you know, it was, you know, your typical Audis GH001. And I thought, oh, if that goes really well, then that's a good place to start off with. So it was buying a few bits myself for a start and just throwing them through the wash and printing them and sticking them through the wash several times and making sure that they still looked okay or the vinyl was still attached and I was doing my job right, because the last thing you want is think, oh, that looks okay, send it out to a customer, they wash it a couple of times, it's peeling off. And so I did that, got in touch with obviously the wholesalers, and then through them kind of got in touch with sort of brand ambassadors. I'm going to big up Kyle and Tiff from Audis, because they are just amazing. They've been fantastic in helping me out, and we stay in touch quite a lot. But a lot of the brand reps and that are fantastic, and that's where Printwear and Promotion comes in, because I went down there in, I think it was April 2022, because I think they moved it from the February to the April. Yeah. That was great. That cost me a 300 quid extra in flight, that did. But we came down in the April, and it was just to actually see the quality and feel it and try it and look at it, and then, you know, just try it out yourself and wash it or embroider it or print it or whatever you're gonna do, and just do it and try it out yourself and see how it goes. Getting help from other people that are in the same business as you are. I'm very lucky. So one of the ladies that I was down at Printwear and Promotion with this year, we met at Printwear and Promotion 2021, off a whim, 2022, sorry, off a whim with a Facebook post, and we've stayed in touch ever since. And although she's based in Yorkshire and I'm based up here, it's nice to be able to sort of, you know, put things back and forward to each other. If we've got a problem, we'll try and help us out. If something's new came out and, oh, you should try that kind of thing, we'll help each other out that way. So again, some of it's trial and error, some of it's getting in touch with, you know, your wholesaler and asking them for recommendations, and then sometimes it's just personal recommendation from other people.
I'm also curious as to how you transitioned in the beginning. So you said that you started out doing more personalized based items, and now you're more into the workwear side of things. They're two very different markets and two very different audiences. So how did you first consider changing markets, I guess? Was it something that somebody approached you for an order and it sort of pushed you in that direction? Or was it something you looked into and thought, oh, there's space in the industry here for another printer?
I think I was just asked. So that first sort of workwear order, I got asked if I could do it, and I thought, oh, I'll have a go and see how we get on, kind of thing. And it worked really well, and I quite enjoyed doing it. And like I say, I've promoted that on social media, so then obviously more businesses started getting in touch. But I didn't really know much about DTF printing at the time either. It was just like, I know about HTV, I know about embroidery. Kind of went down the embroidery route because people kept asking me for embroidery stuff as well, and it just kind of just sort of naturally sort of snowballed. I still do a lot of personalized stuff. Especially Christmas times, birthdays, things like that. Still a lot of personalized items as well. But yeah, it tends to be sort of workwear, personalized stuff, and then dance groups and stuff. But it's just kind of naturally gone that way. I've not done anything to sort of encourage it to go that way. It's just kind of how it's kind of progressed, I suppose. And just
you finished. I didn't want to talk about that. I was going to say, I suppose you have to be open to that as well, though, because, you know, in the beginning, if you set up your business to do personalization and somebody approached you about like a workwear job and you went, oh, no, that's not my kind of business, I don't do that. You have to be open to it and brave enough to test those garments, because, you know, you probably never printed on a high vis or a jacket or anything like that before, whereas, you know, it's the same thing as, you know, the trial and error with the original print products and your vinyl and all of that. Just figuring out if you can do it, and I bet you're glad you did.
So there's some people who like to give me stuff to print or embroider and stuff. And I always say it's kind of like at your own risk if you're giving me this stuff, just in case something goes wrong.
Trial and error.
Yes, exactly. But it was like I had 11 boxes of stuff sitting here over Christmas that was ready to go in January that people had given me to do. And I thought, right, OK, how am I going to do this? And so I actually phoned up you guys and said, I need metallic silver transfers that are going to stick on flame retardant stuff. What do I do? And the advice on the end of the line was fantastic. So another tip from me is to, if you're not sure, ask. You know, there's so many people out there willing to help you. You don't have to just always try and do it yourself or spend lots of money on stuff trying to do it yourself. People will quite happily give you advice to get the right product for the right garment. And, you know, I think I've been on the phone to your help desk several times when it comes to vinyl and transfers and stuff, and asking which was best for which. And touch wood, everything's been great so far. So that's cracking.
that's exactly the point, isn't it? You know, we're not just here as, you know, the business to sell you things. Like, we are partners in a way, because, you know, we always say that there's always a way to print on something. It's just figuring out what the best way to do it is. And if you just print it once with what you think is going to work and it doesn't work, and then you go, well, that won't work, let's just move on, you're never going to be able to print on what you want to, because there's so many different fabric types, there's so many different decoration methods, there's so many different application techniques you can try. But just figuring out which one is which. And like you said, if you're not sure, just phone us up and ask, because we've got so many people here that have done it thousands and thousands of times. And, you know, if you're doing it for the first time, why suffer through hours and hours and hundreds of pounds worth of garments if you can just phone up and ask? You're totally right.
I've actually phoned up before. So there's a tree surgeon wanted this really nice jacket done. It's quite an expensive jacket. And I actually phoned up the company who made the jacket and said to them, can I print on this jacket? And if I can, what's sort of the maximum temperature I can use on it and stuff? And he didn't know, but he went away and he found out for me and he came back to me. I was like, I'm not ruining that jacket we'll try it and see, you know. So I even phoned like the brand, I don't even know who they were, just the brand that was on the jacket, phoned them up and asked them. There was already some vinyl, reflective vinyl printed on it, so I thought you probably could have done, but I was double checking that one before I did it.
that all comes back down to the networking. Get out of your comfort zone, picking up the phone or going to speak to people, seeing people in person, because that's the only way to sort of evolve your offering and what you do is just trying to keep pushing. You know, I imagine that probably having the cricket as your first sort of decoration method has probably helped you out quite a lot as well, because obviously you've got to really work those machines sometimes to get the detail or the right cut settings. You don't always get the details. You just kind of got to figure it out and break it to find the end result, haven't you?
Yeah, I've scrapped a lot of vinyl. Not gonna lie. Try peeling that off. That's ripped off, for goodness sake. Right, try another setting. So, yeah, we've kind of upgraded. We've got a Silhouette Pro now. So, but I don't do a lot of vinyl stuff now. It's mainly transfers, let's face it. Who wants to sit and weed all the time? So.
I see. I suppose, is it more glitter at Christmas, perhaps?
Yeah. But it's better if you can do a massive bit rather than like tiny little 30 centimeter square bits, you know. So yeah, that's definitely helped.
Yeah, not having to cut it all down. That was a massive thing when that Pro came out, the Silhouette Pro, wasn't it? Everyone was like, oh my God, you could fit a whole roll in it.
Yeah, the fact that you can't actually just chuck a roll on it and feed it in without a mat and let it go. And it's, oh yeah, it's saved a lot of time.
So for anyone that's sort of listening and thinking, you know, perhaps in their local area or they have a vision for what they want to do, is there any particular advice you'd want to give to someone who's thinking about starting their journey? Perhaps they're at PMP last week, or, you know, they're just looking for a change, much like yourself, like circumstances change and they want to start doing this. What would be the advice you wish you could give your past self?
Just learn as much as you can. Just ask as many questions as you can. Don't there's no such thing as a stupid question, is what I say. You can never know everything, and just go for it. You know, just really go for it. But don't go for it half-heartedly. Properly go for it, because I just did not think under any circumstance whatsoever that this was going to turn into what it does, you know. And to be able to just be at home in this cabin, 30 seconds walk from the house, just, you know, not in my dining room anymore, thankfully. But to be in a situation where I've got a business and I've got repeat customers coming back, and, you know, people recognize you now when you walk around places like Printwear and Promotion and things. It's just, yeah, just go for it and just put your all into it, and yeah, don't look back, just go for it.
And that is that. I mean, you mentioned about the shed 30 seconds from your house, but we were discussing this just before we start recording. That is a wonderful setup that you have there. It's very nice and clean, but it looks very organized as well, and I'm sure it was tidied for us, but it still looks like there's a process that's going on behind you as well, which I imagine helps quite a bit. Yeah.
So I was lucky. I had a little tiny porter cabin in the back garden that I've had for a long time. It came up cheap on Marketplace, and I thought, well, just chuck that in the garden just in case. I have about an acre here, just to make everybody aware. So I am lucky. I've got the land here to do it. And we bought, and I was in there, and then I got the embroidery machine. I was thinking, oh, this is just not set up well. The table was low, my back was sore, so we swapped it for a bigger one. But this was just a shell. There was like melamine brown walls, and there was one socket in here. And so basically when I got rid of my other one, I was in my dining room for about 15 months until we got this set up. Couldn't really afford to pay people to come in and do it. So my other half was working shifts and then coming in here and doing bits as well. So everything in here has been done by him, which is pretty awesome. And it's nice not to be in my dining room anymore, because it was getting to a point that I would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and just think, oh, I'll just chuck something on the machine because it's there. You know, there was no work-life balance at all. So now I'm in here at 9 when I drop the kids at school. I'm finished at 2:30, and that's it. Lock the door in the house. Nothing till the next day. And it's fantastic. I love it. Very well organized. Good setup. The kitchen cupboards hide everything. Don't look in there. But yeah, we're good. I need a bigger one now.
Yeah, I think that's really important what you've just said as well about having that separation, because even if you do, a lot of our customers do work for themselves and they work from home because it's a more convenient, and you know, why would you have a massive expense on a warehouse if you don't need one, all of that kind of thing. But it is so easy to just work all the time, especially if you're passionate and you're trying to grow your business. And you know, I know in the beginning people do long days because they're trying to get their business off the ground, but you can't sustain that forever. You need to have that, you know, shut off family time, you know, switch off, whatever it is. So yeah, the fact that you've got that space now sort of out of your house, still conveniently at home, and you don't have a very long commute, but not on top of your everyday home life.
Yeah, I think if you've got a room that you can just dedicate to it and shut the door and not have anything else in that room apart from your work stuff, then happy days. Unfortunately, my dining room was an all-in-one sitting room, dining room, so basically I looked at it every night when I was trying to relax. It wasn't very relaxing. So yeah, have that place where you can shut the door and switch off and not go back in.
So I can see the auto open, the Hotronics auto open behind you. You said when you started you had a cheaper heat press. When did you decide to upgrade to the Hotronics? What was sort of the turning point from your business point of view?
I've actually gone through a little stage. So I had the very, very cheap press, and then sort of found, you know, you learn more as you go along. Let's face it, you jump in. I didn't have a lot of money to start off with. So you basically go with what you can afford for a start. And then obviously learned more. And I've actually got it sitting here. There's a Stahl's basic clam press. So that was my next move up. I thought, right, we'll go into Stahl's and we'll get the quality and everything. And then it was only just sort of in the last 6 months that I've got the auto open. So it's just, the business has just sort of evolved and grown as the income has evolved and grown. So, but yeah.
And you mentioned earlier about wanting to stay small. And I think that's really good advice as well, and a really good way to think about it, because it's some people, I think, get a little disheartened because they don't go to 1,000 items in 6 months and think, well, this is no good. But actually it's, you know, it's a long game that you're playing here, and it's all about what is your goals and what's achievable. So I think it's, but I would like to know are there any kind of dream jobs you'd love to take on, or is there a particular industry or brand you want to put that out there? It's in case someone's watching or listening, that you'd love to be able to work on any kind of particular projects or particular types of materials or industries.
I quite like working with clubs and things. So I've got a couple of dance groups now. I've got a gymnastic group that's looking to come on board as well. And I quite like doing the club stuff because a lot of it is kids, and I've always liked sort of working around kids and things like that as well. And I think that kids especially, they take quite a lot of pride in like their dance club uniform or their gymnastic uniform and things like that as well. So I'm just currently upgrading my website. I've just changed to a new host, and we're going to get like an online shop there for clubs to actually go on and be able to buy their stuff there. So I think sort of getting more clubs and either dance groups, gymnastics groups, things like that, that, you know, I could work more with them and just, yeah, I enjoy doing that.
their designs are always more interesting as well, because they're bigger and they're more colourful, or perhaps they're going to challenge you with the glitter or the metallic transfers to try and push it a bit further as well. So actually, I think they're, like you say, it's always nice to see the happy faces when they get it, but also actually when you see at the end of the day that something you've made, you're like, that's actually pretty impressive what I've achieved there as well. I think I do so
I mentioned earlier that I got a contact, and this was through networking. I got a contact for a dance group in Bristol, which I now do all their stuff for, and they went to Disneyland Paris. They got chosen to dance at Disneyland Paris. This is, I'll give them a wee shout out, it's Impact Dance Group in Bristol. And they wanted me to do some sort of replicate a not replicate, make sort of a Disney sort of style design for them. So we did a rough outline of a castle on the back with our names on, and then the sponsor logo and the dance logo with Disneyland Paris 2024 underneath it. And they were all in hot pink. So it was like 57 hot pink hoodies going around Disneyland Paris about a month ago. And the pictures they put on Facebook of all these pink hoodies everywhere were just, it's absolutely fantastic. It was great. So that was, but I just love seeing stuff like that. I'm just so proud. I'm like, I wanted them. Look at them. You know, everyone's seeing them now over in Paris. So.
And also they're probably going to treasure those garments forever because that was a special occasion to them. So not only does it mean a lot to you, that's probably something that, you know, they're going to hold on to for as long as they physically can.
Yeah, exactly. I got the screen print transfers done from yourselves, and because I thought, I know they'll last. I know they'll wash really well. And, you know, this is going to be an item we keep forever. So, yeah, you know, you don't get opportunities like that very often. So, yeah, let's make it a good one. So.
And how did you, well, let's shout out your website then, because you mentioned about you getting it upgraded. So if anyone that's listening that is just interested in perhaps getting some help from yourself, how would they get hold of you so they can contact you themselves?
Yeah. So my website is drumnagoricdesigns.scot. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram as Drumnagoric Designs, and then I'm LinkedIn as Melanie Foley.
There you go. So is, I mean, you mentioned you'd had a little bit of a background in marketing networking before, but is the website something you were familiar with, or was that again another thing you had to figure out and teach yourself, or perhaps get a partner in to help you with?
No, I just pay someone to do that.
Sometimes outsourcing is the best method.
I'm like, I know my limits, and that is well above my limits. So yeah, I paid someone a couple of years to do a website for me, and then I've got very friendly with a lady called Charlotte from the Marketing Barn, and she's upgrading my website and putting a shop and everything on there for me. So what you see just now is probably not going to what you see in a few weeks' time.
I'm excited to see the upgrade. That'll be good. I think that's really good what you've just said as well, because I think so many people, when they start their own business, you know, if you can't always afford to outsource something, you do have to wear all of the hats. But there's always going to be some form of limitation, because, you know, there's always going to be something that isn't your strong suit. It doesn't mean to say you can't do it, but if it takes you longer than it should, then that's not really a very profitable way to be spending your time. So if you can, yeah, be efficient about it, I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, I do not know anything about websites at all in any way, shape or form. So that was the one thing I was like, that's the one thing I will pay for and get someone else to do it and set up. It was going to take me so many hours to actually try and do it myself. I thought I could earn that money in the same amount of time that it takes someone else to do it. So yeah, I'll just stick to what I know.
But I think that's great advice though, isn't it? Because that's the thing, that's a mistake that people make so much at the beginning. You mentioned levers earlier, and this is something that Molly and myself have been banging a drum on for ages about things you shouldn't be doing, like weeding the levers hoodies, because you'll lose so much money. But actually it's always really good to have a good handle on what your skill set is and how long something takes, because, you know, as a sole trader, you are the business, so you have to make sure you optimize it. And like say, if you want to make sure that you can close that door at 2:30 and not have to go back in later on in the day, you have to be sensible about what is realistic and what is the best use of your time.
Yeah, and there's a lot of these things you can outsource now for, you know, relatively little money as well. So VAs, you know, bookkeepers, you know, copyright and branding and stuff. I've got a couple of friends who sort of do copyright and branding, sort of memberships and things like that, and they're very, very low cost, and they just keep you right on where to go with marketing and what to say and how to hook people in marketing, or how to make an effective brand and things like that as well. And it's all these little things that you pick up that do have a positive impact on your business as well. It doesn't have to cost you the earth to be able to do these things.
And it's, I think it's that curious element again as well, though, by wanting to speak to people, wanting to learn about them, figuring out how to decorate something. You've got to have that kind of curiosity to want to, you know, learn more. And it could be, like, say, the tiniest little thing. You don't need to understand the whole thing, but you need to be able to take a piece of it away. But you only get to that point by asking, probing questions with those people to be like, tell me a little bit more, a little bit more. Okay, and I can apply that over here, or I can do that over there. But again, it's all about being the one to take that first step to ask those questions, because those people, these people are there, and there's lots of networking groups like this throughout the UK, either online or in person. But you've got to be able to create those partnerships yourself, and like much like you have done by phoning up the team here or the Carl and Tiff at Audis. They're not going to always, they'll try and phone you, but they're not always going to be there. So you have to really be the one, you know. Putting, I always say to whenever we do anything with other people, it's like 51% of the effort is at least is going to be on our side. And it's probably going to be way more than that. But you have to be comfortable knowing that you're always going to be putting the most effort into this business relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. At the end of the day, you're the person running the show. So you have to kind of be responsible for it all as well.
Yeah. So.
Okay, well, that was such a brilliant episode. I feel like we've given everybody a real insight into what it takes when you're starting a business, how to diversify, all of those different things. So thank you very much, Mel, for taking the time out to come and join us on the podcast today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I've been so excited to come on here, I'm not going to lie.
You definitely won't be the last. We'll definitely have you back on. Yeah, thank you, Andy, as always, for joining me. And don't forget to like and subscribe on whatever platform you are watching on. And we'll be back with another podcast episode very soon.